Go ahead.
Okay. This is in the bylaws. The ballots are due September 30th, and then they must be tabulated, and the NES must certify the election by October 15th. So there's absolutely no possibility that the NES will be finished with their work on September 30th. That's the day that the ballots come in. It, at the earliest, it would be October 15th, and I further propose putting in parentheses so that we give fair warning to all applicants the phrase, or if extended, as late as November 12th, because the bylaws allows that in the case that quorum is not met, the NES can extend the election at any station in increments up to 4 weeks. So I just think we should be very clear with them so they can plan their life, that they will absolutely be engaged with us through the 15th, and they might be engaged through through October 15th, and they might also be engaged through November 12th.
All right. That is exactly the kind of detail that I would like to not get bogged down in this document.
Okay,
although your point is well taken, though. Ken?
I can make my objection now.
Go ahead.
Okay. It's not. I don't object to extending it to October 15th. I don't. We're not publishing this for the court. This is something for somebody to read, and saying you will be working till May 1st or possibly to May 15th or May 15th is ambiguous. I think the phrasing should be as late as you will culminate as late as October 15th, but no earlier than, you know, you could just say as late as October 15th. You don't have to give that detail in a specification for a job. We're looking for somebody who's got an open calendar through October 15th. That's all. Once we hire him, it'll be in the contract, the specifications of what dates he has to attend.
Teresa Allen,
this and if that and if everything. I just find like the ad having an ambiguity in it. So I think the better statement would be as late as October 15th or October 25th. I don't care.
I'm sorry. Ken, let me just clarify your language. Do you want to add as will culminate as late as October 15th?
Yeah, I just want to remove the ambiguity.
Got it. No, I'm just getting the exact wording. Will culminate as late as October 15th. All right, yeah. Who is next on the stack?
This is Lydia.
And in the other places in the specification where there are two dates, it should just give one.
This is Jane for the stack.
Yes, Lydia and Jane.
Yes. So we're going to do, I don't have an objection to as late as, but it should be as late as November 12th, because we have to be in keeping with not only the bylaws, but again, speaking to Bob's point, is that people need to know what kind of a time commitment this is. So.
Exactly.
I don't object to saying, to cutting it, less words is always better to put as late as the November 12th.
Thank you. Did I hear Teresa's voice in there? Or?
Yes.
Teresa, go ahead, please, before Jim.
Thanks for catching my name. I'm not sure that Ken's wording is what we need. I think we need to be clear that this may be a requirement of the job may be that they have to stay until November 15th, correct? They may have to. Because if they think that they're finished by October 15th and the job's not done, they can't just walk away from it. So I think we have to say the job may require working until November 15th.
November 12th, yeah.
Or November 12th. Am I correct? It seems like, Bob,
yes,
that's
good point.
What you originally suggested, something that conveyed that end date was perhaps required.
Bob suggested we'll be engaged through November 12th.
No, that's not what I suggested.
Jane, could I get on this?
Jane, yes, go ahead, please.
Okay, two things. First of all, for clarity, the ambiguity was there because it was there for a question mark. It was not intended that those dates would appear in any setting. So that was just simply my notation to ask the committee what is the correct date to put here. I had originally put September 30th, Bob suggested October 15th. Based on what people are saying, I would suggest that we simply say in the coming months. The foundation will begin a process which will culminate in November 2012 with the tabulation. Basically, let's give it in November 2012, just a broad brush, and keep moving. That's my proposal. We'll tighten up any language. The suggestions people are making, if we say this position goes through November 2012, not a particular date, we got to get the rest of the words before and after that correct. So I would suggest that we just say November 2012 and then get all the other words in that sentence to fit with that.
That sounds very clear, Jane. Thank you. Anthony, and then we'll go to a vote.
Lydia was...
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed you, Lydia.
No, I already spoke to it. I already said I should do, include November 12th.
Wait, I'm sorry. Anthony has not yet spoken on this. Can we take him first and then...
As opposed to the national election. Thank you.
Yeah, I concur about keep making the date approximate and remember as well that when the counting is done, that the job is not done because the LESs have to write reports as well. And there may be challenges of one kind or another, so it would be well to just specify in general terms that the job may continue until sometime in November and leave it at that. We can't even... presume to know exactly when the work will be done.
Okay. Lydia?
No, I support either including the October 15th, the original language that Bob had, or my second choice would be all to simply just say as late as November 12th, but I do not think it's necessary to be vague. We're bound by the bylaws.
This is Jane again.
Jane.
All right, in the first paragraph, I would propose that we strike everything between the word culminate and the word with. So the first paragraph, we'll just read, the foundation will begin a process that will culminate with tabulation of ballots from listener members, et cetera. The last paragraph gives a specific date that I think could be stated on or about November 15th, based on what I'm hearing people say. So I've moved strike all of the dates in the first paragraph and get the one in the last paragraph to be accurate based on what people are saying here.
I'm sorry, by the last paragraph, do you mean three paragraphs down?
This is a full-time contract position? This is a full-time contract position extending from approximately April 1 through November 15th.
That's good. Okay, thank you. That sounds clear. Any objections to Jane's suggestion? That's very good, Jane. Thank you. All right, hearing none, then that's done. Thank you. The next item is the next paragraph. I believe in blue that was probably Bill's comment. In a very short time frame, the NES shall recruit train. Is that an addition, Jane, in blue by Bill?
Bill asked us to... just think about conveying to any potential applicants that there's a real time crunch here, and so I just inserted those words. That's as good as I could get.
Recruit and train. Okay, that's good. Those were common sense.
No objection to that.
Any objection to those at all? Okay, thank you. Moving right along then. The next paragraph in green, that was Bob's, prior experience with election procedures and supervision is required, that addition. Any objections to including that language?
Anthony here.
Anthony?
What happens if no one applies? Would be necessary, or someone applies with experience, but with other contravening factors against their being qualified.
Jane,
this is Revelin.
Revelin.
It just seems to me that we know that we need someone who has experience supervising elections with nonprofits. So to dance around that doesn't seem to serve our need very well. And I would think that it almost, I mean, prior experience was, if you're going to put this sentence in, you should at least say nonprofit or say that we are a nonprofit volunteer organization, because that comes with a whole set of challenges. We can't train anybody on this. They have to come in, you know, and we don't really, this is an expensive election, but we can't afford to have misses on, because then we'll be paying for it twice.
Uh-huh.
We just need to be really clear. We need someone who's done this before and who's done it well. And, you know, we're nonprofit and we work with volunteers. We've got to say that.
I don't think anyone is objecting to that sentence, Revelyn. Are you suggesting amending it or just approving it? I'm not clear.
No, I'm hearing people talk about if they don't have experience, we do this. I'm saying that's not what we're in. We're in a situation where we need someone with experience. And it should also say, you know, I mean, we do say that we're a nonprofit, but if you're going to have this sentence here,
mm-hmm.
to me is not necessary, because we've already said what we're looking for, then you should include the fact that you're working with volunteers and we're nonprofit. This is what we want.
Jane, to the back.
Oh, I see. But you're going down to the next sentence. Right. All right. That's a good point. Uh-huh. Jane?
I just wanted to point out that we're actually at time for our open session, so I would move to extend 15 minutes for our open session.
Any objections to extending?
I would move to extend that to 20 minutes.
Sounds good.
Any objections?
I have no objectives, but I'm going to have to get off and get back on in any case, because I need to get in my car and start driving somewhere for another meeting. So.
Okay. Thank you, Michael. All right. Good enough. So,
this is Jane. I'd like to move that we leave that language in as Bob proposed it.
Yes, I think that's fine. I don't hear any objections to the language that recommended change. So. We should leave that in. We can't really do without experience. The next item is the date of October 30th, 2012, or November 15th. We've already agreed to leave that as is. Jan?
Excuse me. Sorry. I sent around a draft that had another change in that paragraph. I sent that around just before the meeting tonight.
Carolyn, there is a proposal to add one sentence after that one.
Can I read it, because I realized there was a flaw in what I wrote. So can I read a corrected version of that sentence?
Yes, go ahead.
It would now read, no staff member, parentheses, paid or unpaid, comma, delegate, comma, officer, comma, director of the Pacifica Foundation is eligible to apply. And the reason for this is it's in the bylaw. It's a shortened version of what's in Article 4, Section 4A. But it's absolutely essential that well-meaning people who fall in those categories may see this notice on the Pacifica website or somewhere else and say, oh, this sounds good, yeah, I'll apply, and waste their time and waste our time for something they're not eligible for. So I just think it's a simple warning to tell certain people who cannot be appointed that don't bother applying.
Ken, to the fact.
I'm sorry, someone has restaurant noise in the background going on, please. I'm going to object to that simply because it's already in the bylaws, and if we keep reinforcing the obvious, we'll never get done. But Ken, go ahead.
And this is Lydia.
Okay. Personally, I think it can, if it doesn't cost too much in terms of placing the ad, it's a little prohibitive statement like that is probably well advised, just as it says any employees of McDonald's can enter into a contest when they put that on coupon. However, my concern about it is to keep it in such a brief statement when, in fact, people who've been previous NESs could apply, previous LESs could apply for NES, and also somebody who's worked here in any of the stations as staff and management or anywhere, or been on an LSD, can apply after a certain grace period. I think I don't really remember exactly what it says in the bylaws, but if somebody worked at KPFT 10 years ago, they could certainly be an LES at KPFA and maybe they could also apply to NES. And it's a question, I don't know what the date threshold is, and I wouldn't want to make it too complex. So maybe the statement could be former employees or governance members of the Pacifica Foundation may be prohibited from applying for this job. Please look up the bylaws. Something very brief, the briefer the better. But I think it would be prophylactic and save us a lot of grief like we've had in some previous elections.
Getting to the
NESs and LESs.
And I was on
the are you proposing language, Ken, or are you just a...
I'm proposing to modify it. I really don't know exactly what the bylaws said, but what I said was...
I heard that.
This is formative to say something like prior employment, prior employees or members of governance at the Pacifica Foundation may not qualify for this position. Please refer to the bylaws. It's the shortest possible statement that doesn't exclude people who are allowed. And I'm sure Tracy or somebody else will come up with a much better wordsmithing or is more familiar with the bylaws.
And Bob.
I'm sorry, I lost track of who was next.
I was next. This is Lydia.
Lydia.
Excuse me. Can somebody mute? We're getting a lot of background noise, please. Thank you.
I was just going to speak to the importance of including the statement. I actually favor what Bob had because it was very close to what's in the bylaws. But speaking in favor of that is also because some people may think if they apply, if they're not in Pacifica, that we already have someone in mind from Pacifica, and this actually would help them, they would be more apt to actually apply, knowing that we're not just going to pick someone from within, and we're just doing this for the sake of having open hire.
Okay, thank you. Who is next, please?
Jane,
go ahead.
I think it was me, but that's
Tracy. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I did hear you, Tracy. I'm sorry. Go ahead, and then Jane.
Okay. Well, I want to do two things. The first thing that I want to say is sometimes we have short memories around here, but I think it's important to acknowledge that the local election supervisor at KPFK only 2 years ago was, in fact, a member of the unpaid staff. It was a problem, and it did come to the PNB, and there were debates of various kinds about it, and so on. But whether or not this is in the bylaws and the terms that it's in the bylaws is very, very contentious and quite ambivalent. Therefore, I'm going to speak against putting it in a job description, although I actually do strongly support the interpretation of the bylaws that says that shouldn't even apply. However, when you're talking about California Corporation Code, what you're saying is that anybody can apply. However, if they are a certain individual, a certain relationship with the entity, they may need to resign one position in order to take the other. To go further than that without clear indication in our bylaws is frankly overstepping employment law, and I don't think we should do that. So I'm going to speak against putting this in any job description. I don't think it belongs there, and simply suggest that since we have done other things in the past, that really this is language we should step to the right and to the left of and not place in the document. Because, as I said, we had someone who was a member of the KPFK unpaid staff not only apply for, but actually work for a period of time as the local election supervisor down there. We went through this last year with an application process. So to say that we don't do something that we did is probably not a great idea. So I really
point
suggest
well taken.
That.
Mm-hmm. All right, point well taken. Thank you. I think good reason not to add anything to this document as it stands. But go ahead, Jane, you're next.
Okay. First of all, I think that this clause should be left in the hands of Arlene and the attorney. Second of all, I think that if anything, it should go at the end of the next paragraph, not on this paragraph.
third, I would throw out just as potential language, just simply to say current, and in parentheses, and potentially former staff members, employees, delegates, officers, and directors of Pacifica Foundation are not eligible, period. It's not saying they're not eligible to apply, but I would suggest that we throw that in as potential language and let Arlene decide with the attorney whether or not to include it.
All right, that somewhat contradicts Tracy's point. Anyone else on the staff?
Bob.
Revlin is on the staff.
And Revlin. Thank you. Bob?
Yeah, I think Jane has a good approach to this. I'm a little the idea of mentioning former, I think, is problematic. Let me read you. It's one sentence in the bylaws. Okay, I think it's not ambiguous. I think it's clear. But here's what it says: to be eligible for appointment to the position of the National Election Supervisor, said person shall not be, which is present tense to me, shall not be an employee of the foundation or any foundation radio station or a delegate, officer, or director of the foundation or any LSB or a radio station staff member, paid or unpaid. So I think it's, fine, have an attorney look at it, but I think Jane's approach, maybe minus the reference to former, since this sentence doesn't seem to me to say anything about former. It just says shall not be, meaning at the time that they're appointed.
This is Nia. Please, after
Revelin and then Nia.
Okay, I'm going to defer to Nia because I was feeling you were almost finished with the document, and I want to go back to something that was raised earlier.
Nia?
Yes. What Bob just read sounds perfectly clear to me. It doesn't sound ambiguous. And because of the financial situation that we're in, I would strongly urge us to not spend money on having a lawyer interpret something that is so clear. So I would actually like to speak against having to do that because it doesn't sound ambiguous at all.
Could Bob reread what
he
said to start with?
Sure.
Tracy, for the staff.
Excuse me. I just want to cut here. We're repeating ourselves. Tracy made the point that last year there was, in fact, a challenge. It did have legal implications. It was not interpreted as being crystal clear, and there was a problem. So whatever we think of it, I think, is almost irrelevant. There seems to be some history here that we didn't consider before. So I would suggest that we go back. We only have 10 minutes left, and in that time we have to decide how to turn this over to Arlene and in what form. So I would suggest that we omit this entirely and go with Jane's suggestion of allowing Arlene to handle this through counsel or HR or whatever is necessary. I think, I don't want to be penny wise and pound foolish on this. We certainly don't want a lawsuit from a disgruntled former employee who feels he or she could have applied but didn't because of our language. So I would strongly urge that we move on as quickly as possible. All right. Jane?
Tracy, I've been trying to get on the deck.
Yes, you're after Jane again.
No,
after Tracy and Revelin speak.
I didn't get Bob. Bob said that what he was suggesting was not exactly what was in the document. I had just asked if you could, so I got it right, just have him reread what he was suggesting.
Bylaw.
No.
Okay. Can I do that, Carolyn?
Yes, except we have 7 minutes left. So I would urge us, in the interest of time, to defer to Jane's original suggestion, but go ahead if you feel you know.
Well, I actually heard her suggestion to put some language in a little bit later, and then leave it to Arlene to refine it.
Yeah.
You know.
So I move that we do that. I'll just insert that language as a possibility for Arlene to discuss with the attorney whether to include that at the end of the next paragraph.
What is the language you want included exactly?
Okay, I'll read it. It's one sentence.
I'm sorry, Bob. Did you send that along, or would you, to the
No,
group?
I'll send it right now. Right now.
Okay, thank you very much.
No current staff member, paren, paid or unpaid, delegate, officer, or director of the Pacific Foundation is eligible for appointment, which gets around the issue of application, which I hear Tracy's point about, just for appointment. Mm-hmm. They could apply and then resign from that other job if they want, that other position.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't be appointed if they're a current this, or this.
Good. Thank you.
Okay. Tracy?
I dropped my point. My point was the difference between apply and appoint, which is a significant difference. If you leave it out, then you're just reiterating what's in the bylaws. That's fine.
Okay. Thank you.
Ms. Evelyn?
Mm-hmm.
Can I speak now?
Yes, please. Go ahead. On this point, right? We're still on this.
You're still on this one? No.
Well,
no.
Maybe not. Are there any objections to doing what Bob read and leaving it in, as Jane suggests? Okay. No objections, then? Go ahead, Reverend. New point. Thank you.
Okay. I just want to be clear that in reading this description from the top, from the first sentence to the bottom, it never says that we are a volunteer organization, that our members are volunteer, you know, that we are a volunteer organization. It doesn't say that. And so the person that we're asking to do this job does not know, based on any of the language in here, that they will, be giving out ballots or receiving them from listener members and working with volunteers. And I think it's important to at least say that in here somewhere. I don't, maybe I can't read it, but I don't see it in there. And it goes back to the sentence where I said, where prior experience with election procedures and supervision is required. I think that that's the place you have to say prior experience with nonprofit, you know, nonprofit election procedures, prior experience with election procedures and supervision for nonprofits is required. At least that.
Interesting.
Jane,
it's not in here.
Jane, go ahead.
Okay. The paragraph that begins, the successful applicant for this position, I would suggest that we just add a clause to that. The successful applicant for this position will possess strong project management skills, comma, demonstrated ability to work with volunteers, comma, and the capacity to act softly and professionally without prejudice or appearance of prejudice.
Your voice is very soft, Jane. Could you just speak up, repeat that
a little bit more loudly? I'm suggesting adding that as a clause to that first sentence. The successful applicant for this position will possess strong project management skills, comma, demonstrated ability to work with volunteers, comma, and then as it states now.
Okay, that sounds good. Revelyn, does that satisfy your point?
Not quite. I just don't see what the objection for saying that we are nonprofit is. I like what Jane just said, but I think you also have to say that we are a nonprofit organization.
Okay, on that point, may I?
Yes, Jane, go ahead.
The very first sentence, Pacifica Foundation, comma, a not-for-profit radio broadcasting organization.
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay, so it's in there.
No, I'm
all
adding
right.
A not-for-profit. Yeah.
It's not for-profit.
I'm suggesting that I add the not-for-profit to first sentence. Pacifica Foundation,
right.
A not-for-profit radio broadcasting organization.
Very good. All right.
This is Lydia.
Does that work for you, Revelyn?
Not quite. Jane seems to be hell-bent on not putting it in the sentence, and I think that it belongs there. You have to have experience with procedures and supervision of nonprofits.
All right, Lydia?
Yes. I support both, although you don't have to say not-for-profit, just Non-Pacifica, a nonprofit radio broadcasting organization in the first line, and add the nonprofit with the experience, because that is distinctive. We know we're a nonprofit. The question is, do they have experience with nonprofits? I think that's Revelyn's point.
I think a minor point here. A non-for-profit and not-for-profit are not the same things. I believe Pacifica is not-for-profit. I think Jane is correct in that.
I'm sorry.
I don't know.
Non-profit or...
Can we leave that to Arlene?
Okay. Yeah, Arlene, use your discretion.
Yes, but I'll take care of that.
Thank you. But it's appropriate in both places, is my point, both to Revelin's point as well as in the first end.
All right, now we are at 9:48, and it's time to adjourn because we have a closed session meeting coming up, and we are still a bit of a ways to go. May I propose that we leave the rest of this document to Arlene? Jane will incorporate what we've more or less just agreed on, taking into account everyone's suggestions. I know you're very good.
I have one quick item, Michael.
And I wonder if we could move that on and leave it to Arlene.
LES has no description of having to file a report.
Excuse me. Wait a minute, Michael. Is there any objection to moving on and adjourning as we proposed? Otherwise, we need to extend again.
Yes, I move to extend 10 minutes. If that's enough to finish it off. We're almost at the end, aren't we, at the end?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are there any objections to
extend? Preferably less if possible.
This is Jane, just for clarification to Lydia's question.
Extension of 10 minutes.
Are there any objections to extending? I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. No objections. All right, we're extended for 10 minutes. It's 9:49.
Jane, can I clarify a point?
Yes, Jane.
We're not almost to the end because the duties of the NES and the LES take up two more pages. So I would suggest if we want to get this wrapped up in 10 minutes, first of all, that I take the draft language Bob sent for we invite interested individuals to apply for this position by March 25th, which we already decide, or by midnight, March 25th. I'll go ahead and insert that, and then we take, I would suggest that we take whatever people want to say about the rest of the text as quickly as possible and make notes, and if there's any further discussion, have Arlene work it out.
Whatever we can do in 10 minutes, you're suggesting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just move quickly.
All right, that's fine. Next item, then, is point number, where are we?
Two. Okay, on the National Election Supervisor.
I'm sorry, I had one point on that previous paragraph.
And there were two people on the staff. Michael and Bob.
Well, I was going to talk about the local election supervisor. I just think that there should be a permanent requirement on the job description for the LES that they have to produce a report about their individual station.
A point of personal privilege. Could you say that again slower, please?
There should be an affirmative statement in the job description of the LES that they have to produce a report about their election.
Age station, yes.
Mm-hmm. Ken to the
is back. Is that... All right, Ken to the stack. And who else did I miss, Bob? Next.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I must have lost contact here. I thought we were talking about an ad, not a job description. The details about what's required of the LES and the NES doesn't all have to be put into the job description.
I agree.
You don't have to put in there the exact method of STV voting and
that's absolutely
the first
correct.
Round, the second round, so I thought we were just doing a job description.
Carolyn, does it Jane for the sec?
Yes, except Bob Bob was next, and then Jane. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, on the last point, as Jane's draft said, the wording is the next to the last paragraph. For a detailed list of duties associated with this position, see such and such web link. And that web link is the duties and responsibilities of the NES and the LESs. And I think that's the right way to handle it, that you have a one-page quick description, and then you have the much more details that they go to a website to get. So I think that's appropriate. But I also think, and Jane and I discussed this briefly earlier today, that we should also say, for a detailed list of duties associated with this position and the request for proposals used to seek an independent balloting and tabulation provider. In other words, we should put back up the full RFP so that, because we mentioned earlier in this thing that the NES will have to work with and supervise a provider of balloting and tabulation services, so they need to know what that entails. And that could just be another document up on the website that they can use as a reference point to grasp all the intricacies that they will be responsible for, even though they won't do those functions, but they have to supervise the contractor that does do all the balloting, you know, preparing the ballot and tabulating the results, et cetera. So that's
We never agreed to take it down. That RFP should still be up there because we never agreed to take it down.
Well, that's fine, but there needs to be a reference in the job announcement that it's there and that they should look at it.
Exactly. All right. That's a good point. Where would you like to add that?
Well, in the document I sent around, I have exact wording. It's in the sentence.
I can
go ahead, Jane.
Oh, I'm sorry. For a detailed list of duties associated with this position and the request for proposals used to seek independent balloting tabulation provider, and then there would be a link to the those documents on the Pacifica website.
Jane, where exactly would that be? I'm sorry, I lost track of where it is.
I'm sorry. This is the paragraph. This is a full-time contract position extending from approximately April 1st through November 15th, 2012, for a detailed list of duties associated with this position. And
okay, thank
we
you.
We can clean this language up. Bill, Bob
right.
made a wonderful suggestion. We can clean this up. It can be a very nice, neat link that tells people where they can go to learn about these balloting and tabulation functions that they are going to be responsible for.
That's fine. That sounds very good.
Can we just agree that we want that reference so that people will have that?
That sounds good to me. Any objections?
This is Revlon. Back.
Revlon?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Revlon. Excuse me before I do that.
Sure.
Ken, was your point on this point or was it on something else? You were next on the
No,
back.
No. Bob addressed it.
Okay. Thank you, Revlon. Go ahead.
It's an advertisement. Okay. For greater detail, go to this link.
All right.
You don't want to start picking and choosing what detail you want to put in the ad. You just want to make a general description. It's an advertisement. It's not a job.
Right. Got it. Okay. Revlon, go ahead.
Mine is sort of to that point. I'm not clear where all this information is going to be posted other than on the website. Is that what we're talking about, this for the website? Because surely this is way too much to go into any kind of printed document like a, you know, newspaper or something. Where is this going to go? What we're doing?
Well, this is what we were supposed to be discussing tonight. We've sort of run out of time. Unfortunately, we may have to leave that to Arlene as well because we've used up all our time discussing the wording itself. That would have been our next point.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is Bob. I could give an answer to that. I think Revlon's making an excellent point, and I think obviously we can't do it. And even if we had time, it's not wise to have a committee put, you know, word an ad. But, you know, magazines like Current, which we've advertised before in, the magazine of the public broadcasting industry, I think is a perfect place, but it would be prohibitive to use more than about 50 words. So maybe someone can work with Arlene on a 50-word version of this one-page document. And I was just using Current as an example. There's probably two or three other publications that we would want to put the short version in. And then we would put the one page and the supporting documents all on the on the Pacifica website and on the five station websites.
Right.
We may not have time to do any of that at all, and I think that we may end up having to do posting on sites that will accept what we have here. I think that we'll just have to leave that to Arlene since we're out of time on this one.
Can I move that we forward what we have to Arlene to advertise as broadly as able? And that people with suggestions for where to post it should send that information to Carolyn, who can forward it to Arlene.
That's fine. I'll be glad to collate that. Thank you. I think we are definitely out of time, and we need to move
just
on.
Just one quick amendment for what Michael suggested, that we suggest that what's number 11 under the NES about writing a report just be appended almost word for word under the LES. So it just be number 6 under LES.
Yeah,
about
I'll do
report.
That.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll take number 11 and copy it over to number
right.
6.
If it's not in the link to which you're sending things, it should be in this document. I was hoping it would be in the link, but if it's not, that's all right. We'll leave it here. All right. Thank you, people. I haven't gotten to new business, and we still have the advertising, the database integrity, and membership education outreach for elections. Do we?
And the national versus local tabulation.
Oh, yes, right. We added that in.
Yes.
So I think we need to work by email since our next meeting is not until April. I propose that we give ourselves a week or a week and a half to write to each other about these items and try to come to some consensus online. Or at least raise these issues well before the next meeting so we don't get caught doing exactly what we did tonight, wasting hours.
Ken, to the back.
Yes, Ken, go ahead.
I concur, and I'd rather than ask questions, I think you can boldly make a statement. So if Bob has a position on whether or not the counting should be centralized in one location as opposed to being done regionally, or whichever side he favors, make the argument for it rather than saying, you know, just posing the question.
Online,
more effective. And yes, online. Please send it out. That's a very important consideration. And if you could present us with the pros and cons and which way you weigh in on it, I think that's more effective than just bringing it up as a question. And I think that most of this stuff should happen before the meeting. The meeting is like the performance and the email.
Thank you. I'm going to propose that we mail everything we have to consider to each other by the 18th and work with responses in the following week so that we have things well in hand and good language ready to roll by the time we meet again, not on this, but on the other three items, because right now we're just turning this over to Arlene to work as she will, and anybody who wants to work with her on the where and so on, please talk to me about it, okay?
Teresa Allen, may I?
Teresa?
I have a question.
Yes,
I know that as people work on these things and emails go back and forth, and since we have 20 people on the committee, I can imagine if everybody really is enthusiastic about, you know, dialogue and, you know, negotiating solutions, that there could be some pretty heavy email accumulating, and I'm wondering if for the future we might want to think about whether we need to have working groups on anything specific that they could email among themselves and come up with proposals rather than the whole committee working on things like this. Just a suggestion, okay?
That's a good point, Teresa, and if I thought for a minute the whole committee would work on it, I would agree with you immediately. I suspect we'll have far fewer participants than we would like, but if we get to an unwieldy number, at that point, maybe even online, we could suggest a working group. Does that make sense? I hope that we're inundated. I doubt that we will be, is my point. But a working group would be a logical next step if we have a lot of back and forth. Okay. Are we ready to adjourn, folks? We're late for our closed session. Hearing no objection, then, we are adjourned. It is 10:01. Thank you, and I'll see you in 5 minutes on the other call. All right, you'll call in. Hang up and wait at least 5 minutes before we call back. Thank you.